Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we begin our study to some of the verses which is written in Quran chapter 8. Let me remind you that Quran chapter 8 is the chapter before the last which Muslims claim Muhammad received from Allah. Quran chapter 8 is called the Book of the Spoils. What a great title, because now we know that actually Muslims given the right to receive the spoils of war. They will kill the Jews and the Christians and they will gain all the spoils which they can have. But a good catch here that Prophet Muhammad will have 20% of the spoils. Amazingly how Muslims always tell us that Muhammad and his family were financially poor, which is simply a pure lie. For in reality, if we study the battles which Muhammad and his companions were involved in the last 10 years or so of his life, you will discover that Muhammad was not a millionaire, but actually a billionaire. After all, 20% of all the spoils which his companions gained from all these wars with all the neighboring countries, it will make anyone super, super rich. Now let's begin. Look at the first verse what I'd like to share with you in Quran chapter 8 concerning the punishments of Allah. So let us begin our study by looking at what is written in Quran chapter 8 and verse 25. Obviously, as I always shared with you before, when you read many of the verses of the Quran without reading the interpretation of Muslim scholars, you will not have a clue what Allah is talking about. So that is exactly what we will be doing here. Quran 8:25 reads, "And fear sedition, though it will not harm those who have specifically been treated unjustly among you, and know that Allah is severe in the punishment." What Muhammad is talking about here is very simple. We go to Musnad Ahmad and read what that great Muslim scholar is telling us about what Allah meant by these words. He said, "Allah will punish the general because of the sin of a specific people." What he is talking about is that if somebody specifically sins against Allah in a community, the whole entire community will be punished by the sin of that one who sins against Allah. But here we're talking about sedition. I believe deep in my heart that Muhammad put these verses in the Quran to scare the daylights out of those who believed in him. He does not want anybody to revolt against Muhammad, to revolt against the nation of Islam at that time. So he will mix them all in unity. But Muhammad did not have CIA. Muhammad did not have FBI. How in the world could Muhammad find out who did what? So the best thing you do is very simple. You make all the people FBI. You make all the people CIA, which means they'll be watching if somebody will do anything against the Muslim nation. And now you know that everybody is working with you. So people be watching. If somebody start by sinning against Allah or try to do anything to bring revolution in the community, that one will be catched immediately and killed by someone who is near him. Why? Because all those who are working with Muhammad know if that man continue to do what he's doing and he's going to bring sedition to the Muslim nation, then Allah will punish that someone and the rest of the Muslim nation. It's amazing how Muhammad can literally plant fear among his people to gain the allegiance and the trust of all the people of his nation. Let me share with you another verse from which we learn that, yes, that is exactly what Allah would have done to the Muslim Arab if some of them sin against Allah and nobody quickly get rid of those who will bring such sedition to the nation. And that is what is written in Quran chapter 17 and verse 16. For there we read, and if we here is Allah, desire to destroy a village, we commanded its affluence so they live in transgressions in it. So the word will be established against it. So we destroyed it with an utter destruction. Do you understand what Allah is saying here? If Allah desires to destroy a village, all what he has to do is just simply give a command, give an order. For who? For the leaders of that village. And he will make them sin so he can destroy the village completely. Everybody in that village. Why did Muhammad say that? Once again, it's the same idea that he wants to control the entire people. He wants to manipulate and make his people live in fear because Allah is severe the punishment. Allah is severe the torment. Allah is severe this. Allah is severe that. So make sure now that if somebody sins against Muhammad and Allah, quickly get rid of that person before the judgment of Allah will come against the village. For the judgment of Allah would be for everybody in that village, as we just have read in Quran chapter 8 and verse 25. Now, this is what Muhammad used to control his people. Muhammad controls the entire Muslim nation. And let me give you another example. You see, in Quran chapter 9 verse 5, if Muslims leave prayers, he becomes an infidel. Imagine a Muslim man who says the Shahada, who does everything in Islam except if he does not show up in the mosque to pray, that makes him an infidel. That's why you see Muslim families beat their children physically if they miss prayers. First of all schools of thought in Islam said if a person leaves Islam prayers, he is an infidel. But the timing of the punishment is different. Some will say they will give that person 3 days to repent, to come back to prayer 5 times a day. And if not, they will kill that person after the third day. But the other school of thought said, no, we'll not give him or her 3 days, but actually we'll give them the option for the following prayer. You have to understand now, Muslims pray 5 times a day. And if a Muslim man missed one of the 5 prayers, in the following prayer time, he must show up to pray. Otherwise, they will judge him as an infidel, they will judge him as murtad, apostate, and that is when they will kill him or her for not showing up to pray the following prayer. What is that? That is how Muhammad and his companions control the Muslim nation. To make sure that everyone in the community submit completely to Islam to the point you cannot even miss one prayer. Because if Muhammad will not force his people to pray the 5 daily prayers, most of them will not pray. And that was not only in Muhammad's days. That actually continued with the successors of Muhammad who came after him. Why is that? Because Muhammad and those who came after him knew for sure that many of the Arab Muslims were actually not believers and they did not love to pray and practice the teaching of Islam. The reason these people were Muslims was because they just said the Shahada because that is the only way for them to survive and not to be killed by the hand of Muhammad or his followers, the early companions of Muhammad, the successors who led Islam after the death of Muhammad. And the proof of that is the day Muhammad died, many of the Muslims left Islam. That's why we have the war of apostasy. But let me read to you what Allah said in Quran chapter 49 and verse 14. For there we read, the Bedouin said, we believed. Say, that is Allah telling Muhammad to tell the Bedouins. Tell them what? Say, you did not believe. But say, we surrender. And I have between brackets here, that has become Muslims as a result of fear. And the rest is the word of Allah. And the faith had not entered your hearts. And if you obey Allah and his messenger, that is Muhammad, he will not decrease anything from your works. Surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. We learn from that verse that the early Arabs did not believe in Muhammad. They simply said the Shahada because they were afraid of Muhammad. For Muhammad clearly taught them in the hadith that he was commanded by Allah to engage in war with people. That is everybody, until they say that there is no Allah except Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. That is why all the people in Muhammad's day submitted and surrendered to Islam.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Now, all of this is wonderful, that Allah will punish all the people for the sin of a few, and they cannot revolt against Muhammad or Islam, for then they will be put to death. So the unity among Muslims is not because it is unity of love, but it is of fear. Otherwise, not only Muslims will kill them, but the punishment of Allah will come from above all of them. So far, we see that Allah in the Quran teaches that people will be punished for the sin of a few, by Allah or by Muslims. What about when Allah said no one can be punished for the sin of others? For in Quran chapter 17, verse 15, we read, "Whoever is guided, so surely he is only guided for himself. And whoever goes astray, so surely he is only going astray against it. And no bearer of a burden can bear the burden of another." Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did you hear what I just said? Allah said, no bearer of a burden can bear the burden of another. And then the verse ended by saying, and we, that Allah, were not tormenting until we sent a messenger. The verse is very clear. I do not pay for the sin of my father, nor for the sin of my son. Every person bears the burden of his own sin. We will be punished only for our sins. I shared with you plenty of verses in the Quran to show that Allah will punish people for the sins of others, as written in Quran chapter 8 verse 25 and Quran 17 verse 16. But now Allah will not punish people for the sin of others, as stated in Quran chapter 17 and verse 15. This is obviously a very clear contradiction, as we have seen it in the Quran. What about the God of the Bible? The God of the Bible is very clear. The soul which sins must be put to death. And since all have sinned, no one can pay for the sin of others. Every one of us who sin against God deserves to pay for his or her own sins. But God shows us his love. And that's why God sent to us his Son, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, the only perfect one who can carry the sin of the whole world. And that is the message of Christianity. We were reconciled with God the Father forever because of the payment the Son had paid on our behalf on the cross of shame and sorrow. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This is the message of Christianity. Even though Muhammad in the Quran contradicts himself about who pays the penalty of the sin of who? But the biblical teaching is very clear. For all have sinned, and thanks be to God, the Son paid for the sin of all. But only those who accept the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, only those, they will be forgiven for their sin, and they will have eternal life. Now let me share with you another passage in the Quran, which is Quran chapter 8, verses 32 and 33. For there we read, "And when they said, O Allah, if this was the truth from you, rain down stones on us from the heaven, or give us a painful torment. And it was not of Allah to torment them while you were with them. And it was not of Allah to torment them while they were asking forgiveness." What a great contradiction in the same verse. It seemed to me like this is the story of Muhammad in every fabricated story. If you're talking about Prophet Hud, if you talk about Prophet Shaib, if you talk about Prophet Saleh or Prophet Lot, if you talk about any of the made-up stories in the Quran, people will challenge this prophet and say, "Hey, bring your judgment on us." And in each one of these stories, which made up, Allah did bring his judgment. When it comes to Muhammad, they said, "Go ahead, Muhammad, make our days. We're not going to believe in you. Send the stones of heaven on us as you have told us about the other made-up stories." And Muhammad obviously knows. No stones is going to come from heaven on them. They're not going to be punished by any stone. So what is the solution? The solution is very simple. He would say, "Well, Allah said he will not send the stone on you as long as I am with you." Excuse me? You mean we're going to wait until you die to find out that you're a true prophet and the threat you're giving us is true? Now let us listen to what is the true story behind these verses. The people of Mecca, these are Muhammad's family, the people who grew up with until the age of 30, that's when he claimed to be a prophet, told Muhammad, "Perform a miracle to us." But he didn't. So they asked him that he may get some good to himself, that he will do something nice to himself to prove to them that he is a prophet from Allah. But he didn't. And when the people gave up hope in him, they said, "Oh Allah, if Muhammad is a true prophet from you, here we go, Allah, do us a favor, make our day, send rain on us, not rain of water, so we can enjoy life, to grow our plants, so we can have harvest and have a good life." No. They ask Allah to send rocks on them from heaven. So Muhammad took their prayer to Allah. And Allah sent on Muhammad these verses. "Allah will not torment them as long as you are with them, O Muhammad." All right, sounds good. Now Muhammad migrated from Mecca to Medina. That is 210 miles north of them. Why didn't Allah send the rocks on them immediately? The rocks which are supposed to come from heaven as rain to crush them. No. Nothing of that happened. So now Muhammad is worried. His affair is going to be exposed. He's not a prophet. Because even the challenge they brought against themselves to prove that Muhammad is not a prophet now must be fulfilled. There is no excuse. He already gone. He's no longer with them. Then the judgment of Allah and the punishment of Allah should be on them. But then Muhammad added the second portion of the verse, that it was not for Allah to punish them, to torment them, and they are seeking forgiveness. This was simply a good excuse for Muhammad to cover up his claim to be a prophet, because no judgment will come on the people as Muhammad claimed. If they will not believe, like previous people, they will be perished by Allah. And by the way, that is the opposite of what we read in the Bible. You know, when we go to the book of Joshua, chapter 7, we see that God punished sin with severe punishment. And it doesn't matter. Joshua does not have to leave the people, that the judgment of God to be on them. God can bring his judgment on the people in the midst of the Jewish community. For in the book of Joshua, chapter 6, the children of Israel were forbidden to take any of the spoil of the city of Jericho. The entire city and everything in it was forbidden. But the man by the name Achan stole some of the spoil and he buried it under his tent. The following chapter, chapter 7, the children of Israel went to war against a small town which is called Ai. And there they lost the battle. And that's when Joshua figured that something went wrong. there was sin in the camp. He investigated the situation, and that's when God revealed to him that it was Achan who took from the spoil of the city of Jericho. And now we read the story. How was the judgment of God on that man? It was very simple. After Achan confessed his sin, we read in chapter 7, verses 25 and 26 the following. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned him with fire. After they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. God punished the sinful man for his sin, and Joshua was still there with him. Josh did not say, God will not punish you until I am gone. And then when he is gone, God will not punish you if you seek forgiveness. What is this? It is simply the comedy of the Quran. Allah did not bring his judgment on the sinful people of Mecca when Muhammad was with them, or when Muhammad left them, or if they seek forgiveness. Obviously, that is not the case of the true biblical account. Even if Achan sought forgiveness and he confessed his sin and he showed where the spoil which he hid under his tent, the judgment of God was put on him simply because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And it's not eternal life as a gift because it costs God nothing, but actually Jesus paid for our sin, and that's how we can have forgiveness of our sin and receive eternal life. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.